It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Friday, November 12th, 2010. I'm John Moe. Amazon.com has removed The Pedophile's Guide to Love and Pleasure from its electronic bookstore. It's a self-published pro-pedophilia ebook. The presence of the book on Amazon has made the company the target of increasingly louder complaints and boycott threats. Eric Engelman writes the Amazon blog for the Seattle-based website TechFlash.
At first, Amazon put out a statement where they took sort of a hard line. They said they believed it would be censorship not to sell certain books simply because some people thought the message was objectionable. Then later, Amazon has apparently removed this book. It is no longer available for sale, but the company hasn't said anything about its decision.
Ebooks are a growth industry. Amazon wants to offer lots of selection on Kindle, so they've been encouraging self-publishers to use their digital text platform. They've given guidelines.
They prohibit pornography and offensive material. And as far as the definition of offensive material, Amazon says on the site that it's probably about what you would expect. And they say they reserve the right to determine what's appropriate and what's not. But it's really not clear how closely they're policing all of these self-published books.
So their criteria is the phrase about what you'd expect? That isn't very specific?
No, that's pretty broad. I mean, it certainly gives them a lot of leeway one way or the other, but that's how they define it at the moment.
If Amazon wants more self-publishers on Kindle, they're going to face controversies like this again. Eric Goldman is at Santa Clara University School of Law, directs the High Tech Law Institute there. Eric, what issues do you think will come up in this space?
For the most part, there aren't a ton of new issues for the book authors themselves. What is new and very different is that when Amazon acts as an electronic book reseller, they're given a much wider berth against liability for books that they sell than offline retailers would get. This is covered under a statute that Congress passed in 1996 as part of the Communications Decency Act. And it basically says that Amazon's not liable for the books it chooses to sell in its ebook platform with very narrow statutory exceptions.
So if Amazon sold a book about how to make a bomb and somebody made a bomb based on that book, Amazon doesn't hold any liability.
That's correct. How to Make a Bomb may or may not be a legal book to publish for the author, but even if it is illegal, it's not likely to be Amazon's problem for having been the retailer of it.
So the situation with this book about pedophilia, it wasn't a legal liability issue. It was we don't want to get boycotted by everybody in the universe and lose our sales issue.
Well, exactly. And that's why it's a little bit odd for Amazon to drape itself under the heading of trying to fight against censorship. Congress has given it the power to choose what to do, and how it chooses to exercise the power isn't really censorship. And in fact, Amazon has less risk in its decision than an offline bookseller might have had. An offline bookseller might be governed under more draconian rules that would force them to feel like they must, quote, censor books to minimize their legal liability. Here, Amazon made the choice without having any real risk of legal liability, whichever decision it made.
A couple of Twitter items we're following at MarketplaceTech.org. A British politician has been arrested for a post on Twitter calling for a journalist to be stoned to death, says he was joking. And a British court upheld the conviction of a man who tweeted a threat to blow up an airport. He says he was joking, too. And you can now tweet your pings. I'll explain. Ping is Apple's social network feature on iTunes, encourages you to talk about your favorite music. Now those thoughts can be exported to Twitter so everyone can read what you think and hear music samples. Producer Larissa Anderson is here.
With a helpful hack, so get ready for a dive into a device, John.
Okay.
You can now turn your iPod Touch into an iPhone, kind of. It's this thing called the Peel. Costs $80, attaches to an iPod Touch, and you can use it to access Sprint's data network, get online, make voiceover IP calls, all for $30 a month with no contract.
And AT&T is more than twice that per month with a 2-year contract. So what's the downside?
Well, data's limited to 1 gigabyte per month, which some people might use up pretty fast. And it only works on second and third generation touches, not the newest ones. Plus, when you put the Peel on the Touch, everything gets a little clunky.
So cheaper per month than AT&T and no commitment, but low data cap, doesn't work on new touches, and clunky.
That's right.
This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.